Hey there, welcome to this week's message from Real Life Ministries. We are so glad that you're here. We hope that this message will encourage and inspire you to walk closer with Jesus. Now sit back, relax, and let's dive into the Word together.
All right, good morning. Contrary to popular belief, there's more countries out there than the United States. That's called a map that we just looked at. It's a map of those countries. Actually, really cool little piece there. Those are all of the countries right now that Real Life Ministries is doing missionary work. It's over 40. And so that's our conversation for this morning, is we're going to be talking about discipleship, international discipleship. And here's the point of this conversation is one is to celebrate what God's been doing through us as a church internationally, but also to very specifically tie together what we are to be right here, we meaning you, where you live, work, and play, what that means for you to be a Christian, and how that plays across the world. Because it should be the same. It should be the same thing. And so we're going to celebrate what God's doing, also going to shed a little bit of light about what we do as a church internationally, and what we believe is our mandate of what God calls us to be and do, and how those things come together. So this is Missions Week for us. Missions and international discipleship are the same thing. Those are interchangeable words for us. But as we get started this morning, we're just gonna have a little fun and we're gonna throw some multiple choice questions out there as to what is this IDT missions thing here at Real Life. So because everybody loves tests, no, we're gonna make this a summary essay question. So I'm going to ask you a question, and you're going to come up front with the microphone and give your answer. Right, everybody that's like, this is why I don't go to church, is because they do things like this every time. We're not doing that, okay? We're not doing that, rest assured. But we do have some multiple choice questions for you this morning. So here we go. We're going to kick it off with some of those questions. What is missions here at Real Life? First question, our missions team at Real Life is also known as the Real Life IDT, which stands for A, Incorporated Digital Technology, B, International Discipleship Team, or C, Interpol Detective Team. What is it? What is it? It's B, although C sounds fun, right? It's B. IDT stands for International Discipleship Team. That's kind of our missions team at Real Life. Number two, the main focus of our missions team is A, clear water initiatives or clean water initiatives. B, evangelism. C, building projects. Or D, discipleship. D. But A, B, and C are fantastic options, aren't they? They are. Absolutely. And those things will and do get accomplished, but our primary focus is discipleship. Because out of discipleship comes evangelism and service and generosity and initiatives. So D, discipleship, is the focus. Three, we connect with national indigenous pastors to help them, A, lead and multiply disciple-making churches, B, learn to speak English, C, accomplish the projects that they have planned for their church. A is what we choose to do. We help pastors lead their congregation to be disciple-making churches because the result of that is accomplishing what God's will is. And there's a multitude of ways to put that into practice. But A, lead disciple-making churches. A couple more. Number four, in order to help pastors around the world, we use volunteers from Real Life Ministries because they are A, free, B, actual practitioners of biblical relational discipleship, which is the model of Jesus in Scripture. C, submissive and easy to work with. Or D, okay, maybe it's A and B, but not always. What do you think? B? I think it's B, but it's also D. It's D because A is true sometimes as well. Volunteers are free, that's true. But not always, right? So yes, we work with volunteers that are practitioners of disciple making right here. in their own life, in their own homes, in their own worlds. That is the strongest and most effective means to making disciples is by being a disciple, no matter where you are. Here, there, and everywhere in between, that's God's plan for the world. Practitioners of discipleship is who we use to help make disciples internationally. Lastly, five, to reach communities and people in other countries with service, compassion, care, and meeting needs, we A, send lots of money to the churches we work with. B, send our people from real life to do these things in other countries. C, intentionally strengthen the local churches we work with in other countries so that they can be the church of Jesus and impact people in their communities. Or D, we support missionaries from the United States to go live in other countries to do those things. Ooh, see, the last one's tough. C, which means we intentionally strengthen local churches, wherever they may be, so that they can be the church, so that they can impact the communities that they live in. Now, there's a multitude of ways to do that, and yes, sending people, and yes, sending finances, and yes, doing projects are good things. They are helpful things. But our main focus is to help the church be the church where the church is. Amen? And so that's going to be our intent. We're going to have that conversation a little bit today. That's just a fun little intro as to what disciple making looks like. For us here at this campus, it's a little different. I said this last service, I'll say it again. Since I've been here in the last year or so, our connectivity, our influence, our participation in international disciple making from this campus is pretty small. There's not very many of us that are involved in that. The team that we have, because we are one church in multiple locations, our Post Falls campus, this Coeur d'Alene campus, our North campus, and in the future, closely, our Hayden campus. We're one team, one church, right, in multiple locations. But the majority of our disciple-making international movement comes from volunteers from Post Falls. My hope is that that would change. My hope is that there would be people in our community, in our neighborhoods, in our groups, in this congregation, that would listen to the call that God has. This may be the part where you're like, oh my gosh, is he going to tell me to go to Antarctica right now and sign up on the way out? No. God may tell you that. I'm not telling you that. I just want to be the one to present the conversation to ask you, where are you today in your relationship with God? What does that mean to you? And hopefully you'll listen in to what God's word says is our part as Christians, as a part of the church. What does that mean? Sound good? So here's what's true. Our international disciple-making effort, our missions team, follows the exact same blueprint, playbook, if you will, that we do right here at home. Right here in Coeur d'Alene, right here in Post Falls, Kootenai County, right? Being a disciple of Jesus and making disciples of Jesus is the great commandment in the Great Commission. Love God with everything you are and to make disciples of Jesus. Teach other people about Jesus, about God's word, about who God is. It's the same blueprint, the same model and the same method that we use here that we try to employ as a church right here is the same method that we employ across seas. And here's what you're gonna see today. There's a few testimonial videos that we get to watch from people that have experienced and have journeyed along with us as a church here and how it's changed their lives, how it's changed their churches, and all they're doing is what we're asking us and you to do here. One mission, one purpose, one plan, it is to be the church that Jesus calls us to be. Here or abroad, it doesn't matter. So, here's what's true about real life and what we see in the Bible. We have a vision, it's just our goal, if you will, and that is to reach the world for Jesus one person at a time. Who's heard that before? Okay, you've maybe heard that. We've reached the world for Jesus one person at a time. Now, if you're like me, I'm like, wow, the world's kind of a big place, right? Like, how are we gonna do that? Like, man, there's a bunch of ways to do that. Well, I just gave you a sneak peek about what that looks like, but our vision is to reach the world. Reaching the world starts right here at home. Reaching the world starts right here at home. Starts with you, starts with every single individual that makes a decision to follow Jesus with everything that they have, everything that they are. Fully submitted disciple of Jesus is what God calls his church to be. When we follow God in our lives, not perfectly, we mess up, we fall short, we make mistakes, We forgive each other. We get back up. We try again. Just like the disciples were with Jesus. Just like every person since the creation of time has fallen short, has needed the grace of God. As we do that, God changes us. He changes our lives. He takes us from a place of confusion and brokenness and hurt and pain and frustration, realizing that what the world has to offer is never enough. It's never going to satisfy. It's never going to suffice. You'll never have enough, get enough, be enough. When we come to that realization and we surrender to Jesus, our lives look different. If we're willing to make that decision, if we're willing to follow God and what he has for us and what his word says. And when that happens, and we choose to be about God's business, not our own worlds anymore, not the kings of our own castle, not the idols of our own lives. When we choose to do that, God does amazing things, incredible, miraculous things. And guess where? Everywhere. In your heart, in your home, in this community, and absolutely to the ends of the earth. Because that's what Jesus calls us to be and do. He says go to the ends of the earth. Acts says that we will be his witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. God's call is for us to reach all people everywhere. But it starts with us here first. Not with campaigns, not with giving. Those are a result of a changed life. And a changed life comes only from the one who can change it, which is Jesus, because of what he's done. Dying on the cross for our sins, raising from the dead to conquer Satan, sin, and death, to be that sacrifice that is required for us to have life that God gives us, is the reason why we reach the end of the earth, because of Jesus in our changed lives. So as a church, we exist to reach the world for Jesus, but we're gonna do that one person at a time. That's a big goal with a really small start, isn't it? That's a really small step, one at a time. Just like every single one of us in here is one person at a time. And God knows every specific detail about you. Your quirks, your giftedness, your mistakes, your achievements, every single one of us God dearly loves and cares about and knows our story. What has happened and what will happen. And so we want to reach one person at a time. And that's gonna be in relationship. We're gonna talk more about that in a minute. We're gonna reach the world for Jesus one person at a time. How we're going to do that is that we're gonna make biblical disciples in relational environments. We're gonna make biblical disciples of Jesus in relational environments. Now here's the interesting thing about that mission statement, that's the how, is that we shouldn't have to put the word relational in there. We shouldn't have to say make disciples in relational environments. But the reason why we have to say it is because every single one of us here across town, across the country, across the world are made in God's image and likeness, yes, absolutely. But every single one of us struggles with relationship. It's the most important ingredient that our lives are to have according to what God says. It's also the hardest. It's also the most painful. It's also the most trying, the most difficult. But as it is those things, it's also the best thing that any one of us can experience. We fully experience God's presence and purpose in our lives when we are in relationship with other people. When we're known and other people know us and that we know other people. When people know our struggles and our hurts and our successes and our fears and our failures, and they know the things we're good at, they can encourage us and walk alongside us. God's design is for us to be in relationship for real with each other. All the good, all the bad. In disciple making, being a believer in God includes relationship. A disciple is in relationship. You cannot say that you are following Jesus and not have relationships. Can't. That's not my rules, that's God's. He says, be together. Our relationships together is what the church is the combination of us together, following Jesus together. Again, not perfectly. In fact, we'll never be perfect until this side of heaven, we're never gonna make it. But when we do it together, God can do incredible things. Who likes to be encouraged? I do. Just four of you. Okay, liars. I need to be encouraged. I need people to help me. Say, hey man, good job. Hey, hang in there. Hey, it's okay, that's good enough. I also need people to challenge me and say, you are making poor decisions right now. Right? You're not letting Jesus be the Lord of the life. You're the Lord of your life right now. You're being selfish. You're being short. You're being rude. Right? Some of us have spouses and they get to do that really well with us. But the point is, God has designed you to be in relationship with other people. Old, young, similar, dissimilar, doesn't matter. God's recipe for growth in life is in relationship. How we are going to reach the world for Jesus one person at a time is by being and making disciples in relationship. If you've come to this church often or even the first time today, what you're going to hear and continue to hear is get connected. Get connected. Get in a small group. Join a team. Get in a class. Find a mentor. Come to men's breakfast. Go to ladies' night out. Get connected into relationship and find people. That is the design that God has given you, is to do life with others. We are called to reach the world for Jesus one person at a time. How we do that is being a disciple in relationship with other people, but with a purpose. Not just to get, but to also give. To be a contributor and not just a consumer. In relationship is where we learn to grow. It's where we learn to find the giftedness that God has given us. It's where we learn to serve others, to give to others, to sacrifice for others, to reach others. When we get changed in relationship as God and his word and his people come together, we start to grow in maturity and care more about what God cares about and less about what I care about. And when that life change happens, we become focused on other people. And that's how we reach the lost. That's how we reach the world. That's how we reach one person, one neighbor, one student, one coworker, one spouse, one kid, one person at a time, is when our hearts change because we have community so that we feel like we can make it. That's the mission. The process that we have as a church is that we're going to follow the process that Jesus Christ modeled in the New Testament, sharing new truth in life and relationship with his disciples. He connected them together in relationship with him and with God. We're going to connect with each other. When we get connected, we are going to train each other up for ministry and minister to one another. We're going to help when there's help to be needed. We're going to tell people that we need help so that they can help us. We're going to discover the giftedness that God has promised every single one of us through his Holy Spirit for the edification of the church and the betterment and helping of other people. Every single one of us that says yes to Jesus, that says, I am a Christian, I believe in God, has received the Holy Spirit, and you have talents and gifts and abilities that God wants to use you for his namesake, to help people. That's what we do together, is we go, what can I do? How can I help? And that whole process is left with us being and reproducing and making disciples of Jesus. Jesus tells us in the Great Commission to go make disciples and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He says, go to every nation and teach them to obey everything that I have commanded you to do. How many things did Jesus teach and command? A whole bunch, right? Like, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself, right? Be patient and kind and compassionate, right? Be gracious and generous. Be slow to anger, right? Be slow to speak. Listen well. Consider others better than yourself. Take the log out of your own eye. Listen to other people. All these things that Jesus commanded is what we get to try to practice. And where are we going to learn that? In relationship, in small group, in a mentoring relationship, at the coffee shop, at your workplace, on the boat, playing golf. I don't care. But be in relationship for the purpose of the mission of Christ. We didn't make that up. That's what we see in the New Testament. If you look through the New Testament and not only look at what Jesus said, but what he did, what he modeled, what he walked out with the disciples, is where we pull our disciple-making process from. What we do here is what our international disciple-making team does across the world. And today we get to celebrate and see a couple testimonies from pastors that we have connected with and reached with and done life with, and we've helped them, and oh my gosh, they've helped us. And it's really, really amazing. And before we look into this and kind of walk through it and share a little bit just briefly about what our team does, here's the encouragement that I want to give you. And this is from Jesus' words, right, himself, and what the apostles talked about, is that the gates of hell will not prevail against Jesus's church, the church that is obedient to what the New Testament says, not parts of it, all of it, in the way that Jesus said it's supposed to be, the way that he established it in the New Testament, he says it will not fail. Who thinks the church is not doing very well today? Looks like it, right? Well, that must mean one of two things. God in his own timing is gonna let it succeed when it is, or a lot of the church is not being obedient to what Jesus says it's supposed to be. They've deviated from the word, they've deviated from the Bible, they've deviated from the methods of which he says it's supposed to be. What I can tell you today that we've experienced as a church is that when you do follow what he says individually and collectively, that lives change and you cannot stop the church here and abroad. The gates of hell will not prevail against Jesus' church, and we're seeing that happen. We're watching that take place, and that's what our team and our church is about. So, as we dive in this morning, I hope that you're hearing a couple things. One, where am I at? Where are you at today? Because international discipleship starts local, right in your heart and right here. Number two, here's what our team does. Here's what our church does. It's celebrate. It's amazing. It's incredible to see. What does that mean for you? What's a next step for you in your walk? So, right out of the gate, here's what's true about our team. They're gonna put a picture up there. This is our international discipleship team. This is a group of volunteers that make up our international or missions team. We have one missions pastor on staff at our team at Post Falls. The rest of our team is volunteer, which goes back to that free question. It's kind of a joke, but not really. So this team is made up of volunteers that participate in our church. They're members of our church. They're disciple makers right here at home. They live here. They stay here. And they help train and encourage and equip and help international pastors in over 40 countries across the world be disciple-making churches by being disciple makers themselves. And so before they leave that up there for a second, here's what's true, and that's why I was talking about our campus. Any volunteer that wants to be a part of this can join this team. The vast majority of our international disciple-making team is volunteers just like you. Just like the vast majority of our disciple-making ministry right here at home, in our small groups and in our men's and women's and youth and kids' ministries and marriage ministries, are you. Volunteer people that are Christians that are being obedient to what God says. And so this is our team. The way that this works, just in general, obviously I can't cover all the details today, but there's gonna be people here you can talk to after service, is this group of volunteers, first and foremost, is they are disciple makers that are a part of the body of Christ right here at home all the time. They're Christians, that's who they are. How they serve is that they've said, hey, we wanna help. We wanna share what we're doing with other people that are wondering how to be a disciple-making church. And so our team is this group. Some of them go and make visits and they meet with pastors and they do trainings and then they come back home. And then they're Christians here and they stay in constant contact with these pastors and with these people, the pastors and their wives and their families, and they just encourage them through relationship as they become disciple-making churches. That's kind of our model. And so we have people internationally that are searching for what it means to be a disciple-making church. When they reach out, we share with them, here's how we're a disciple-making church. If they show interest, we go and we live it out with them. They experience relationship and disciple-making together as the leaders of their church. They become disciple-makers first themselves, and then we help them lead their congregations and their churches to be disciples and disciple-makers. And eventually, what God has done through a majority of these churches is that it catches fire. And other churches in their area go, what are you guys doing? And then they start to help lead other churches in their area. And the gates of hell will not prevail against God's church. It's reproducible, it grows, it's encouraging, and that's what we're seeing happening. And so I'm just gonna go through a couple of these and I wanna show you some little clips from pastors internationally that we've experienced with and what they say about what I've just said to see if it's actually true or not. So, first of all, pastors, they're looking for what it means to be a disciple-making church. And here's why that's important. Because a pastor and any Christian, I'm gonna use that interchangeably, if you take serious the Great Commission to go and make disciples, the question that you have to ask is, how do I do that? We all are called to be disciples of Jesus, learners, followers, Christians, Christians that have a different life, and we're supposed to be a disciple and make disciples. If you take that serious, you have to go, how do I do that? What does that look like? And there's been congregations and individuals and pastors across the world that have looked for help on how to do that. In one way or another, they stumbled across Real Life Ministries through a relationship, through a video, through a book, and they've said, what are you doing? Will you help? And that's where this all starts. And so let's watch this video really quick. Pastors are looking for it. Here's a couple of testimonies on that.
In Africa, we have the church who is large in number, but not deep. So that was our burden, how the church can be founded in discipleship. So we tried many tools how to disciple people, but we come to know Real Life Ministries and we found the pathway of discipleship, and especially how the discipleship has to be relational and biblical. So that was amazing. It was a good news for us.
When did I first come to contact with RLM? It all began for me back in 2014 when I was wrestling with what it might look like for us to be and make disciples here at Bendigo Baptist Church in Victoria, Australia. Well, it was in the course of that middle of 2014 that I discovered the book Disciple Shift, written by Jim and Bobby. The shifts that it was suggesting that a church needed to make to grow a disciple-making culture really resonated with me at that point in time.
My first point of connection with Real Life Ministries was through finding Jim's book, Church is a Team Sport. And it's a pretty well-known story around the traps now, but essentially I walked into our local church bookstore, bumped into the clearance table, and that book fell off. And I picked it up to put it back, but read the title and thought, oh, sounds interesting. So I took it with me and sat on the back seat of my car for a couple of days, and then I picked it up and read it again and thought, gee, this just makes sense.
I don't know if you caught that last part, but Richard was in a bookstore, bumped into the clearance table, right? The clearance table, which is basically like take these books because we can't sell them, bumped into that rack. And the first book that Jim, our senior pastor in Post Falls, ever wrote, called Church is a Team Sport, which is basically what I just talked about, being and making disciples in relationship. Richard grabbed that book, threw it in the back of his car, right? A couple days later, came back and read it. And what he said was, this just makes sense. Now, here's what you need to know about all these pastors internationally. These men and women and their families, they're phenomenal, off the charts, brilliant, humble servants. Man, they're leading churches with incredible passion and sacrifice. But they just needed just a little nudge to look at things a touch differently. And that's what happened with Richard. He'd read that book and he said, well, this just makes sense. And he reached out and said, hey, tell me a little bit more about what you're doing. And that's happened over and over and over and over again, to the tune of over 40 countries internationally, to where churches and pastors and leaders, through means like that, bumping into a table somewhere and a book falling off a chart or off a desk, to saying, what are you guys doing? What's going on? And we don't give them a special formula. We just show them the Bible and what we see in the New Testament about how Jesus calls us to be his church. And so what happens is people reach out. This is international pastors reach out. This is a little bit of our process. They reach out and inquire. And the first thing that we don't do is just tell them a bunch of information. Send them a bunch of books, give them a bunch of materials, send them a bunch of videos, or go over there or have them come from wherever they're coming and sit down and talk at them. Because that doesn't work. Are there any teachers in here? Yeah. Do kids learn well that way? Just put a whole bunch of people together and just tell them stuff? No. Is that what Jesus did? What did Jesus do? Oftentimes we can look at the New Testament and go, here's what Jesus said. Here's what he taught. These are the things you're supposed to do, right? Kind of a, I'm gonna tell you and you're gonna figure it out thing. I don't learn that way. What Jesus did is he walked and he talked and he did life together with his disciples. for like 3 years, for like a year and a half. They just spent time together. The rabbinical system, they just learned each other. Who are you? What do you like? And they messed up and they did a whole bunch of things contrary to what Jesus wanted them to do, but they spent time together in relationship. And so when these pastors or people or individuals reach out, our first step is to spend time with them, just to get to know them, to be in relationship with them, to find out who they are, what they care about, what their fears and their struggles are, who their families are. Do they have kids? Do they have a spouse? What community do they live in? What is it like to live where you are? We do everything we can just to be in relationship first. And so I want to show you a little clip about how that's kind of impacted a few of these pastors.
Was there like anything in particular that stood out to you through that training? Do you remember?
Yes. How, especially when I see the team that came over, they never not only teach biblical discipleship, but we look through their lives and we experience that through their lives as well.
Mm-hmm. So we get visitors, coach from Real Life Ministries in US, and they come in Burundi, and we spend time, good time with them. They know how to talk with people, how to live with people. They live in the house of us. So that means they are not distant from us. They want to be with us. Even though they don't talk too much, but their heart was talking too much.
That's such a powerful statement. For real, it's such a powerful statement. And that's two just quick clips, right? And both of those gentlemen say, and they just lived with us. They stayed in our house. And it'd be really easy and really tempting to go, oh, we're going to travel internationally, we're going to stay at a hotel, and we'll meet you at a conference room, and you can come and sit down, and we're going to tell you all the things that we're really good at. That happens way too much. It doesn't work. Just like because discipleship internationally starts locally, that's why we try not to do this here either. This conversation, the majority of Sundays, depending on how often you come, maybe it's once a month, maybe you catch it every other week, but me just saying things directly one way is like this much of the picture. And my fingers are pretty much touching. A one-way conversation telling stuff is not going to change your life. That's not what it means to be a Christian. That's not what it means to be a part of the church. And that's not going to make any difference. If we're not reading the Word of God and being in relationship and putting it into practice together, we're missing it. If you're wondering why your life is not changing, maybe it's because you're not following the blueprint. Now, here's what I'm not saying. You have to be perfect and do all this stuff. That's not even close to what the message is. What it is allow people to help you. Be a person that is a disciple, not something that you do. And so our effort internationally is the same encouragement and call for us here. Like, let's do it together. Spend time in each other's lives, in each other's houses, with each other's families, being together. There's plenty of garbage that we're all going to navigate through. We don't need to make stuff up. Just be with each other with a like-minded purpose. And so our first effort internationally is to go send, when he says coaches and people from Real Life Ministries, he's not talking about staff. He's talking about those groups of individuals that are just volunteer people that are disciples here first. And you hear he said, they know how to talk with people. How do they know how to talk with people? Where did they learn that? Did we train them? Did they go to school? Did they have a degree? Where did they learn how to just spend time and talk with people? Right here, at home, in a small group, with other people, in your community. They're doing life here as a Christian, and all we're doing internationally is sharing with them what we're doing here. It's the same playbook, same mission, same plan. We reach the world by being disciples here first. And it's changing lives. It'll change your life here. And it'll change anybody's life anywhere because it's God's plan. It's his blueprint. It's what he calls us to do. So we see that these pastors experience it, right? They're like, oh my goodness, this is relationship, right? You could insert any occupation now and say, this is the loneliest occupation in the world. Any one of us today in the age can go, I'm the loneliest person there is. Now, sometimes that's because of our choices, because we're not willing to be courageous and take steps to get into a relationship with other people, because it's too hard, too uncomfortable, makes us too awkward, right? Like, I sweat all the time. Like, I'm sweating right now talking to you. Got to push through it, right? There's anxiety that you might have. Got to push through it. People might not like my haircut. Well, figure it out. Sometimes we're isolated because of our own decisions. Yes, there's fear. Yes, there's concern. Yes, you have a past. We all do. The enemy's tactic is to try to keep you isolated, to try to dwell on your shortcomings. Because the success that God brings is when we go, you know what? I don't think I'm supposed to be perfect anyway, but I know the one who is. I've made mistakes, and so have you, and so have you, and so have you. And those of you that have experienced it by willing to be in relationship with people, you find out I'm not the only one. I'm not the only one that's made dumb decisions. I'm not the only one that struggles with this. I'm not the only one that has a kid doing that or somebody that has this diagnosis. And there's power in relationship. Our first step internationally is to experience real relationship with them. And then we say, let's live out being a disciple. Let's practice it. Now that we're connected, let's practice it together. And here's what they have to say about that.
I have a coach. His name is Mike and Loretta. They are a good man. They trained me, and I learned many things from them because they have a deep love. They know how to train the people. They know how to share with others. And I spent many times in their home. And when they came to Burundi also, they stay in my home. And we continue to build our relationship. They are a model. They are a model for my life, for our pastors.
How deep is our relationship?
It's grow deeper and deeper every day. Mm-hmm. And you not only see that in our coach, but they live it out through their lives. As you have seen that they have impacted not only our lives, not only our churches, but also the community that are surrounding our area as well. So we have seen that through their lives, and they have really, really engaged themselves in and building up relationship all throughout wherever they are. So they are well known now, wherever we are pastoring, and also to the churches that we pastor, of their way of life. So they lived discipleship relationship all throughout their lives. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Spend time in relationship. The process that we follow, that we see Jesus in the New Testament do, share, connect with each other, and then minister. Train to minister. And that's the next step. How do I be a disciple? How do I be intentional? How is it reproducible? Who am I reaching? Who am I leading? Who am I helping? Who am I serving? Right? That's the training portion that he's talking about. As you do life together, you encourage each other, right? To encourage each other to follow what God's word says, to put into practice the commandments that Jesus talks about. And you can see that as we spend time together, we do life with these pastors, and then we start to talk about what it looks like. The next step of that is to be trained up, and then is to lead that out. As the pastors and the leaders of the churches become disciple makers themselves, the next step is to reproduce that, to invite the congregation, to invite people, to invite their neighbors, to invite the peoples in their communities into a process of following Jesus. Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. It's the same model. These pastors therefore go, okay, I've got a team. I've got an encouragement. I've got people that I can call back in the U.S. I've got people around me that I've done life with. Now they're in groups. Now they're making disciples. And then they help lead their churches to be disciple-making churches, which is Jesus' church, because that's the greatest commission that Jesus gives us, is to make disciples. And so the next stage that I'm going to show you right now is that they live it out together, they learn it, and the next step is that they lead their churches and congregations to do the same thing. Let's watch Dave here.
And 2 years ago, we realized that the end goal was not small groups, but it was growing people towards spiritual maturity. And it was the realization that there's a whole number of relational environments vehicles that we have learned that actually help us to move people in that direction. And I think that's going to be a real key thing for our church as we move into 2021 and into the future, is helping people as they endeavor to be and make disciples, realizing that there's a variety of vehicles that will help grow people towards spiritual maturity in Christ. And the other thing I think I want to just say that's been a real key for us has been the international discipleship team and just the leadership of Dave. His input into my life and into the life of our staff team over the last 5 years has been incredible. And you only know what you know. There's been many times when I've called and said, hey, Dave, hey, I'm stuck. I'm not quite sure what to do next. Any thoughts around this? And as we've dialogued every 2 or 3 weeks together, that has been such a valuable input into my life that I cherish so deeply, and I'm so grateful to RLM for.
We help them walk it out. Like he said, it's not just about the small group, right? He's talking about leading his church. And the result of that is that it spreads, that it multiplies. So this last video here, as we kind of touch base and land it here before I kind of ask you what that next step is for you, is the testimony of what happens once this takes fire, so to say, and is the core of the church. Here's this last one here. Let's watch it.
I started to train our churches and to start the small home group in our congregation. Also, I had the opportunity to train other pastors interdenomination. I trained many pastors from Burundi, DRC, Rwanda, Uganda, South Sudan, and Kenya. I was very, very interested by this ministry. This lesson, how to make disciples with the relationship, how to help the church to grow, to become mature. Thank you very much.
Relationship with the pastors. And one thing I've noticed is they have not just sat on this information that we share as far as biblical relationship is concerned, discipleship is concerned. They have actually also gone back home to their churches and done the same thing, working with their branch satellite churches. So it is something that when I went to Burundi, I brought back Fort Portal, and the Fort Portal church pastors have also taken back to other church pastors in their regions. So it has really greatly multiplied over and over and over and over again.
Those are just a few, just real quick snapshots of what God's doing internationally. So what does that mean for you? How do you get involved? How do you help? What does that mean? Well, the first step, the most important step that any one of us can take is to first and foremost make Jesus the Lord of our life. If God is not a real relationship with you, that's the first step, is to choose to make Jesus the Lord and Savior of your life. Your life's not gonna change until the author of it changes it. So maybe your first step today is to say, all right, I'm done. I'm done being the Lord of my own life. I'm done trying to find purpose and value in this world that doesn't fulfill. It's never enough. I'm kind of broken and messed up like everybody else. I don't want to do it anymore. Jesus, become the Lord of my life. If you've made that decision, that means that Jesus is calling you to live a life that is selfless, that is to reach other people who are lost and who are hurting and who are struggling. Jesus calls you to be a disciple, a learner, a follower, somebody who's changed by Christ, and to make disciples, to help journey with somebody else. So what can you do? The first step, be a disciple right here, right now. Be somebody that's willing to be connected, to read the Bible, to put it into practice, and be willing to push through and be in relationship with other people. It's hard, it's scary, it's messy, you're gonna get hurt, and then you're gonna get hurt again, but you're also gonna get helped. And you're also gonna get encouraged. And you're also gonna have people like these pastors where you can go, you know what? I got a question, I can pick up the phone. Trying to figure out how to parent, I can ask my friend. I got a disaster ahead, you know what? I got 6 to 12 to 20 people that know that they will be there. You're not intended to do life alone. Reaching the world starts right here with you right now. And if you get connected and you get plugged in, or you wanna serve, you wanna lead a group, you wanna be in a group, God will change your life, and then you never know. In that process, God may say, hey, What do you think about joining that team that actually is a disciple maker at home and across the world? And here's what's amazing about that invitation. You'll actually want it because God had been changing you and he'd be encouraging you. And you're going to go, I absolutely want to do that. Not don't pick me because I don't want to go to Australia. That's not how it works. How it does work is by taking the small steps to say, I want to be a Christian now. I want to be a disciple maker. I want to be in relationship. I want to be changed. And God, I want you to use me how you want to use me. And then you never know what he's going to do. But here's what's true. The gates of hell will not stop you if you're obedient to Jesus. They will not stop his church. It'll be just like that last pastor said, over and over and over and over, they watch people give their lives to lead Jesus and live a life change. There's nothing better. Lastly, and before we take communion together, there's a lot of very practical and tangible things that you can do to help as well. Keep being a contributor in church. Be here. As you grow in maturity, that means giving financially. You can give financially to our international work. You can give financially to the local work, which eventually becomes international work. You can choose to join a serve team where you go to some of these places and help meet some tangible needs, to build some structures, to help put in some supplies that are needed. That's part of it too. There's a trip that's going in January. There's a whole bunch of information you can find online and on the app to look at joining the international team. There's gonna be a table out in the foyer. If you have any questions, go ask how you can help, how you can give. But it starts right here with you first.
We want to thank you for spending part of your day with us. Our mission at Real Life is to reach the world for Jesus one person at a time. If you'd like more info on the ministry or a giving opportunity, be sure to download the RLM app or visit us online at reallifeministries.com.